Bạn có biết bộ định tuyến Wi-Fi của bạn có thể hạn chế tốc độ Internet, đặc biệt nếu nó đã hơn 5 năm tuổi không? Để biết các mẹo thiết lập giúp tối ưu hóa kết nối NBN của bạn, hãy truy cập nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup. nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 22nd of May 2026, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.4% and up 0.33% for the week. We'll have the details soon, but first, a deep dive into the space economy. Earlier this week, Elon Musk opened the books to its space exploration company, SpaceX, as it prepares to list on the US share market. It posted a net loss of nearly $5 billion last year, but on higher revenue, more than $18 billion. The company is expecting to list with a market valuation, some say, of $1.75 trillion, making it the biggest debut ever, and could set off a number of other blockbuster IPOs like OpenAI and Anthropic. So what's the appeal, and is space really the next frontier for investors? I spoke with Pepperstone's head of research, Chris Weston. Okay, let's talk about one area of the market which could turn into a bit of a frenzy, right? And that's the space economy. Elon Musk's SpaceX opened its books in preparation for an IPO this week. Early reports suggest it could be the biggest share market listing ever. What's your take?
It's hard not to get excited about it. I mean, it's my jam, to be honest. It's not for everyone. You know, if you're looking for value, if you're looking for that earning, if you're looking for valuation, then you're not going to go there. It's a concept. It's a vision. It's an idea. It's about where this could go going forward. If you want to invest in that and you're not too bothered about being bound to convict or have pricing, conviction behind the pricing of future earnings. Yeah, this is the stock you want to touch. But if you want that value, if you trade on valuation, it's not where you're going to be going. But yeah, everyone's talking about it at the moment. Everyone's trying to get their head around exactly how it's going to list, what the sort of flows we're going to be seeing. You're still conjecturing about the actual date. We know there's going to be a roadshow for institutional investors on the 4th of June. Talk is that, you know, they could be pricing it on the 11th of June to go live the next day on the 12th. Seems an early date. I think it's probably going to be later, but that's what people have been talking about. The fact is they're raising, you know, $75 billion from the market, which is a very small amount of change considering as they're talking about a total market cap of $1.75 billion. It will be higher than that when it finishes. It will be close towards $2 trillion by the end of the day. But, you know, that's 4% of the free float is going to be coming there, which is tiny. But there's a reason for that, Ricardo. And, of course, you know, if they go too hard on raising capital, then it could actually derail the actual market conditions on the day. You know, they'll be sucking liquidity out. People will be selling shares to fund that involvement. So $75 billion is a reasonably sweet spot for this point. Of course, then we've got Anthropic coming through at some stage soon and OpenAI as well. All of those factors will be sucking liquidity out of other parts of the market. But yeah, I mean, they came out with their prospectus. We know what the company looks like now. You know, in the financials last year, they made revenue of just over $18 billion because of the high costs that are associated with R&D and their investments. You know, they actually came to a net profit loss of just over $4 billion, come out of the Q1 numbers. So again, you're not going there for the earnings, are you? I mean, you're going there for the huge amounts of investment, the fact that they're very much leveraged to the government. 20% of their revenue for last year came from government agencies. Yeah, Trump's backing them in that situation there as well. But, you know, I think what's going to happen is there's a lockup of shares from the institutional. That free float will increase over time. It will be one of the biggest companies, probably the sixth or seventh biggest company in the S&P. But the weighting on the market will be significantly lower because it's done by the free float adjusted situation there as well. But very exciting times in space. I mean, SpaceX are in the right spot. They've got the launch situations, they've got the communication, they've got the internet situation, which is growing significantly at the moment with Starlink, and that was about 80% of their revenue last year. Starlink's absolute goods, and that's, you know, something that's going to continue going forward. So yeah, launches, the cost of launches to rockets, I think we saw about 350 launches last year. They're coming down significantly. And it really opens up what will be one of the biggest investment themes in 2027, if not early, you know, late 2026. And that is the space economy. We're talking about data centers in space. We're talking about exploration. He wants to take people to Mars, of course, and that's further down the line. We're talking about satellites. We're talking about defense. You know, the whole shebang coming through. It will be a huge investment theme and massive growth potential coming through. Of course, they're going to be very much at the heart of that situation.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, this sector and maybe the company isn't for everyone, and this isn't a recommendation, and our audience should get some independent financial advice before making any decisions. But this is a US company. How can ordinary mum and dad investors get exposure into it when you look at the IPO, it's more than likely being dominated by these large instos?
Well, of course, yeah, if they like the look of SpaceX, and yeah, I think for sure a lot of people will get very, very interested in the retail investment and trading community. Yeah, obviously you can get that in the secondary market when it comes through. But when that comes out, then obviously we're looking to see what ETFs it is put into, whether that's going to be things like the ARK, the ARK Innovation and Space ETF. That will be one to look at. There's the UFO Index ETF. Again, there's a lot of ETFs which cover a whole sort of basket. You don't need to get just one single stock exposure, but you can get some diversification. So you're going to have a look at some communication satellites, some defense situations around space. And then of course you've got, you know, everything around rocket launches. You can have a look at something like Rocket Labs, which is a US stock, which is very similar, in some capacities to SpaceX. And that's been doing very well, sort of riding off the coattails of the PR that we've been seeing. We know there's ETFs in Australia as well, which are coming out. So there's a whole heap of situations, but of course, yeah, we've got to try and understand where SpaceX is going to be included. Now, of course, once it goes live on the first day, it doesn't go into the various indices straight away. There is a staggered period. It's going to take 15 days to go into the NASDAQ, or take about 6 months to get into the S&P. And then suddenly these ETF providers will be able to include them in the ETFs going forwards once they're fully listed and they can get that exposure. So there is a bit of process. But yeah, certainly I think, you know, when we're looking at space going in forward and what SpaceX is going to do to that investment thematic, you know, AI is obviously going to continue increasing. I think the defense side, and also what you've also got with the satellites going up there, is, you know, the difference. Yeah, China's very much trying to keep up and get involved. India, Japan, but all the critical minerals that need to be put into those satellites as well. So there's a whole heap of, yeah, mining companies that will do very nicely from the demand there as well.
What about the risks investing in such a theme in terms of space? Because just like the AI story, I guess, there's a lot of startup investment, right? And investors have got to wait to see some sort of return.
Well, it's a great question. Well, it depends where you are on the risk scale, of course. If you're looking for income, if you're going into CBA because you like the fully franked, you know, high yield and bits and pieces, you like that income and that stability, then, you know, clearly when you're looking at something like SpaceX and the whole sort of space economy, well, one of the problems is your inability to have conviction about pricing future earnings. And that's where you get when, you know, one person sees it this way and one person sees that as the dispersion increases, that's where you get significant volatility because people don't have that ability to price cash flow earnings and those factors as well. So it is a concept at the moment. And because there's no one that actually is growing. I mean, I think the space economy is at the moment valued about $600 billion. People are talking by 2035, it could be about $2 trillion. So, I mean, these are all fingers in the air stuff. Without that sample of data going backwards, it is just a concept that we say, this is where it could be. Take NVIDIA, for example, 10 years ago, 8 years ago. Yeah, we didn't have a clue about how to price earnings. So huge volatility, but that volatility is falling down as we're having much more conviction about that. But yeah, so it is going to be a scene that if you've got the risk tolerance, you know, in that situation, you know, you can see there'll be stocks that have significant returns if we get it right, winners. But at the same time, you know, obviously you've got to be prepared to take that risk on as well. And there could be some big losers as well.
And just in wrapping up, SpaceX isn't the only potential huge IPO on the radar. There's talk of Anthropic, which owns Claude, ChatGPT owner OpenAI. It's just talk at the moment that they may be hitting the board soon. How significant would this be and what does it say about the overall IPO market?
Very healthy, isn't it? I mean, it's massive. You'd love to be the bankers who are getting this one away. But yeah, I mean, it's a massive scene. And I guess, what they've, everyone's got to be careful of is getting too much of a capital raising away. And therefore people are going, well, I need to take part in that. It's a massive company. It's got growth potentials. We've got to be there. And then they have to sell out of other companies, non-core holdings, some core holdings to fund that situation. Of course, that has an implication on the broader market as well. But I think, yeah, everyone's getting pretty excited about Anthropic. It's not going to be as big, of course, but, you know, they've been the architect of everything that's going on. You know, we've seen so much around Claude. You know, recently they kicked off a huge wave of buying in some of the other AI-related plays because they basically hit capacity constraints on compute, showing huge demand. But yeah, really good. Everyone's loving Claude at the moment, and that's got great potential. But OpenAI is also, you know, has been the subject of fierce debate. You know, is it just a cash burn? Are we going to get the return on the investment coming through? And I think there's clear signs that people are seeing that they are monetizing that much better now. So again, I think both of them are going to be very well supported. I think institution and retail are going to want a piece of that. And, yeah, it's really exciting times there.
It's Chris Weston there from Pepperstone. Now a quick look at the Australian share market, which closed the week higher, the ASX 200 up 0.4%, with 6 out of the 11 sectors finishing in the black. Materials the best, BHP up 1.1%, South 32 more than 5%. Mexican fast food company Guzman & Gomez, a standout, up nearly 10% after it exited the US market. Telcos fell though, including Telstra, down 1.5%. Insurance Australia Group lost 4%. For more, including the outlook for interest rates, here's more of Chris Weston from Pepperstone.
In terms of the war, I mean, it's very difficult. I think you've got to go on the trend of news that you've been seeing. How is the tone and the consistency? And whilst we have, yeah, we've got loads of noise and conflicting headlines coming through in the last night's session, the broad trend is towards consolidation and actually agreement. And, you know, you're looking for something that's tangible and something that gives you a belief that the Straits of Hormuz may actually be functioning at some capacity going forward. But certainly the trend has been far more constructive as they broker that in Pakistan. You know, the oil price has come off those highs recently. It's still at elevated levels. But in terms of the interest rate question, to answer that, I mean, here in Australia, we had, you know, obviously that poor jobs report, the unemployment rate ticking up to 4.5%. And I think that was the, you know, that took some of the heat out there. So the good news is we're not going to get a rate hike in June. I mean, the market's pricing that at a very low probability, 6%. We see a number of economists pushing out their calls, you know, further out. Yeah, if you go to August, it's still the market's pricing that as a 50-50 bet. But I think the good news is now, if you look at the market's assumptions further out, which could be wrong, of course, is that they're only saying now in Australia that we're only going to get one more rate hike coming through. My best guess is that I think the RBA are actually done here, but we'll have to see, obviously, see what happens with the next inflation reports coming through.
What about the US? Because we've had some big earnings reports, the likes of Walmart and Nvidia. What do they say about the earnings and economic environment in the US? Because hasn't pricing there also shifted a little bit? I mean, there were all these expectations the US would be cutting rates this year, but that seems to be pushed back.
Well, the expectations at the moment is that the next move from the Fed will be a hike, although we've got the new Fed governor coming in May and, he's not going to raise rates anytime soon. At least not. He's going to corral the Fed to look to raise rates anytime soon or even cut rates. But yeah, I think the market's saying that they're going to be on hold for a period of time. The next move will be a hike and it'll probably be in January. That's when we're seeing it being priced. The Federal Reserve do have to be hawkish at some sense, at least cosmetically, given what we've seen in where inflation is and inflation expectations are reasonably high. But yeah, like I think for the US at the moment, it's just a question of central banks sitting on their hands. Easy job, I guess, if you're at the Fed getting paid to talk about what's going on and monitor the situation. But yeah, they're very much on hold. Now, the economy is a really tough gig. And again, now it comes back to central banks. They're sitting there going, you know, like Walmart's earnings were good. I mean, they missed and the share price was down 7%, but that's a victim of their own success. I mean, the share price was at all time highs going into that. And so they had to smash the expectations. They didn't. They're putting it down to the high food of cost living and bits and pieces. But the interesting tidbit from Walmart is, again, they keep talking about this K-shaped economy where, you know, the massive levels of CapEx from the hyperscalers, the, you know, $750 billion of committed investment coming through is benefiting that side of the economy. Anything to do with, you know, picks and shovels, infrastructure, energy build out, the data center build out is doing really well in the US economy. The low end of town, however, is a very, very different story. There's no hiring coming on. There's no spending. Consumption's very poor. Demand's very weak. And you're seeing that coming through. That's what Walmart talked about. The high end, great, fantastic. The low end, not so great. Now, how do you solve that with one blunt tool that is monetary policy. And of course, that's very difficult. That has to come from fiscal efforts coming through, something Trump needs to address it.
That's Chris Burton there, head of research at Pepperstone, and he wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget to like the podcast, give it a review and subscribe if you enjoy it. And you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns on Monday. It drops after the market close every weekday. It's been a long week. I'll catch you next week.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions. This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Did you know that distance and physical barriers, especially common in larger or multi-story homes, can reduce the strength of your Wi-Fi signal and slow down your internet? For setup tips on how to get the best out of your NBN connection, visit nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.